Welcome to another episode of Mind the Flat, a weekly podcast that brings debate to life's most challenging questions. I'm Chris Heffernan, and as always, I'm joined by my former flatmates and very good friends, Amy Isles.
Hello.
And Tom Crowther.
Hello.
This week's life-changing question is, what's the best hot drink? But before that, it's time to get in the zone with Chris's Quiz of the Week. Question number one this week. Coffee is the second largest traded commodity after oil in the world. According to a 2017 article by The Telegraph, though, which country consumes the most coffee per capita?
Ooh. Oh my God.
And I will give you options if you'd like them.
Okay, I feel like if we've got options, chances are it's not going to be something like obscure like San Marino. So
true.
I don't know. I was just thinking it's near Italy, isn't it? And maybe a lot of coffee, but it's also small. So any excess in the amount of coffee drinking would be kind of proportionally larger. But go on, Chris. What are the options?
So option A would be Finland. B, Finland. Brazil. Or Ooh. C, Canada.
Oh, the Canadians do like their coffee.
The Canadians.
The Canadians do like their coffee.
I'd be inclined to go in that direction. I don't think it would be Brazil. I think they produce a lot of coffee.
That's true.
I think they're the biggest coffee producing country, but I don't know if that. And I think it's quite a large population. I imagine there's a lot of people that don't drink coffee.
Yeah.
I'm inclined to go Canada.
They have a lot of Tim Hortons over there. Let's go. I can't have words
Canada?
Today.
Wow.
What is happening to my words? Let's go Canada.
That is incorrect.
Oh dear.
The correct answer is Finland.
No.
So they
Madness.
Drink 12 kilograms of coffee per person per year.
Wow.
Canada still makes the top 10, but it's half of that. It's 6.2 Whoa. Kilograms per person per year.
Madness.
Crikey.
Number two. Which hot chocolate song reached number two in the UK charts in 1975?
I believe in miracles. Where you from? You sexy thing. It's got to be that one.
Would you agree, Tom?
I mean, I...
Tom just looks perturbed.
I didn't even know what happened then. I was thinking about... I didn't even know I'm assuming Hot Chocolate is the artist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I was thinking about a song that related to Hot Chocolate, not... I didn't know there was... So Amy just started singing and I was so confused by what was going on.
I love that song.
Okay, happy to go with it. She seems very confident.
You are, of course, correct. What? You sexy thing.
It's called You Sexy Thing. I thought that's what it was called. I was like, what is it actually called?
Number three. How much tea does the average Brit drink each year?
Ooh.
How many cups?
Ooh.
Okay, 365 days in the year. I'm going to say about 700 or 800.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. But my mum and dad drink like 5. Like they are excessive tea drinkers.
I drink like 3 a week.
Yeah, that's true. Me too.
And there are a lot of people that just don't drink any. Chris, when was the last time you had a cup of tea?
Oh, I drink tea all the time. I love tea. I've got to say that because what's happening later, Tom? I love tea. I drink endless tea. Love it. Can't get enough of
it. I get the impression you may have been kind of cornered into a position that you're not necessarily comfortable arguing for.
Should we go... I'm erring on...
You want to push it higher, don't you?
No, I want to push it... I'm thinking about pushing it lower because I think you're right.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I don't know. Should we go 700? Kind of
sure.
Down the middle.
Should have gone with Tom. 876 cups.
Oh, I'm sorry, Tom.
That is enough to fill 2 bathtubs.
Wow. Actually, that's not that much. Per year?
That's a hell of a lot of tea.
I'm actually with Amy on this. I feel like that isn't a lot.
It's more than 2 cups a day. I've probably not drunk that much tea in my lifetime.
Yeah, good point.
Number 4. According to George Orwell's A Nice Cup of Tea, published in the Evening Standard in 1946. What should your teapot be made from?
Chocolate.
So he writes a guide to the perfect way to make a cup of tea. So it's a 10-step recipe, basically, for making tea. And one of these steps specifies the type of teapot you should use. So what should your teapot be made from?
I feel like clay.
I was thinking clay.
Because I feel like porcelain is too obvious.
Yeah.
I think clay is a bit more like, you know, porcelain's too clean and kind of clinical, whereas clay would actually add something. Like, porcelain wouldn't make a difference, I don't think.
Yeah. I mean, the Chinese make it in clay pots, don't they? And that's their, I mean, they are like the origin of tea.
Sure.
Yeah.
Should we go clay?
Yeah, let's do it.
Very good. Yes. The teapot could be made from china or earthenware. And earthenware is clay. So, very good.
Thanks, George Orwell.
George Orwell will be proud. Your final question this week. Which civilization drank chocolate first?
Oh my goodness. I'd listened to this on a podcast last week. And I'm sure it's the Aztecs. I think
that might be a red herring. Oh. I also listen to the same podcast episode.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're thinking. Oh, no. What was the other? Yeah, no, what was the other one?
I think it could be us.
Really? Can you repeat the question a second, Chris?
Which civilization first drank chocolate?
Oh, I don't... What?
Okay, should we just go Aztec? Because I think we have to... It's the safe bet.
I'm sure it was... Oh, no, I don't... Yeah, okay. I don't know. Let's go Aztec, and I will apologise profusely if I'm wrong.
You are in the correct area. However, it was the Mayans.
Oh, man.
Or Mayans, however you'd like to pronounce it.
The correct way, so the latter.
Mayans. They first drank chocolate 500 BC. It was from...
So not us, then.
No.
At least I was in the right area.
In my head, it was that they were just eating it, and we came along, we were like, just make it easier and drink it.
But it wasn't hot, so they had it cold.
Yeah.
So it was ground up cocoa seeds mixed with water, cornmeal, and chili peppers.
Yeah. Very interesting.
So it's now time to debate. The motion before the flat today is tea is the best hot drink. This week's caveat is hot means hot. No cold or iced variations, please. Other than that, the rules are the same as always. No swearing, no taking offence, and of course, no pompous points. Once again, we start with an affirmative statement. This week from me, on the terrificness of tea. I have approached this week's argument in Amy's favourite style, with the key word beginning with a V, versatility.
Yeah!
Tea is the versatile hot drink, okay? So yes, you've got your standard tea, okay? Builder's tea, put a tea bag in, a bit of milk, lovely, okay? Now, that can give you in itself a nice boost, okay? You've got let me just get this right, the theine or thiene in it that gives you a better boost than caffeine because it is a more gradual increase. So it gives you that caffeine-style boost to your day. Brilliant. That's what we all think about of tea. But you've got the whole other side of tea, which is all the fruit teas and flavoured teas, and then they have all their own properties. So you've got cinnamon tea for a headache, lemon tea for a sore throat, thyme tea for a cough, or peppermint tea for fatigue. So any problem you have in life, it can be solved with a cup of tea. So how can you not love tea?
I just want to say, going to give you a point for the versatility. I cannot give you a point for what is obviously pseudoscience. Spouting a load of nonsense.
Can I take a point away for a pompousness of thiene or whatever it is?
That's fine, Amy, but I will be deducting pompous points if you mention caffeine.
Oh, come on. Caffeine is...
Theine is the caffeine equivalent in tea. That's what it is. That's honestly what it is. That is science. It is different to caffeine, and that's what's in tea.
Tom, I'm going to let you be the decider of this one. I've never heard of theine or whatever it is.
Everything that I've read has said that caffeine is in tea, so I'm going to side with Amy.
Yes!
This is outrageous. This is science.
I mean, let's move beyond the weird caffeine substitute stuff that you're on about. But the fact that you were saying that cinnamon tea cures headaches, I'm sorry, but that where is the evidence for this?
Soothes. Everyone knows, if you've got a sore throat, a good bit of lemon will soothe that sore throat. It's true. It's not. I'm not saying that suddenly, if you drink tea, you're going to cure yourself from cancer, Tom. Okay? I'm saying that there are soothing properties to many of the things you'll find in tea.
Yeah, I've got to say, like, tea is kind of known for its, like, soothing and herbal and remedious. What's the word for remedy? Like,
remedial?
Remedial, that's the word. Thank you. Remedial properties. My dad always makes, if me and my mum is ill, he'll always make Egyptian tea, which I don't know if it works, but it's basically just black tea with loads of sugar, and it does always make you feel better. Don't know if there's any science behind that.
Because you're running around the house going mental because you've just had 5 cups of sugar.
It does make you feel better though.
And that's my key thing here. And obviously I can't mention the word because suddenly science is banned on this podcast.
You can say caffeine.
But no, because tea isn't the same high as you get from caffeine, because that's a sudden up. So coffee gives you this sudden energy, but then with that then comes the drop off. Whereas because tea is a much slower release of that energy, you don't end up with that extreme drop off, which is why I think tea gives you an even better boost in the morning, because it's not just an instant, energy, whoa. It's a much gradual, and it's, again, it's more soothing in its energy that it gives you for the day.
Sure, Chris. I can recall all of the times when I have my morning coffee and all of a sudden I'm just going like that and I can't stop because it's... I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. Maybe it has certain effects on certain people, but...
See, guys... The scientists know nothing. Tom Crowther knows it all.
I think for me though, tea is that, I like that word soothing. I'll give you a point for that, because for me, tea is like my homely drink. I think because I was kind of force fed it as a child, I kind of, with me, it's like synonymous with going home, because my mum and dad drink so much tea. And although like now I live on my own, I probably drink more coffee. Tea is always like that drink I'll go to have like that kind of calm, like relaxing feeling.
I think there is that kind of calming element to tea, but I really feel like tea actually can cause a large amount of anger. I mean, how many times have you gotten angry at how someone else makes tea? And everyone has their own idea of how to make it, and especially in this country we get so angry and so upset when someone makes it the supposed wrong way. I don't think tea is necessarily soothing. I think tea tears communities apart.
I've got to give you a point there, Tom. Yeah, everyone gets divided about it's a British thing that the way you make tea can make or break friendships. How do you make tea?
How do I make tea? Tea bag in for about 3 to 4 minutes. Take the tea bag out, then put the milk in and stir.
That is correct. Unless you're making it in a pot. If you make it in a pot, I always add the milk in first and then pour it from the pot into the milk.
If you're making it in a pot, I probably don't want to be friends with you, because it's just far too pompous for a cup of tea. Cup of tea is meant to be simple. It's meant to be basic. It's meant to be easy. Like putting it in a pot.
You're making it for more than one person, I feel like a pot of tea is... Like, that's how we always used to make tea at home, because there was always three of us. If you're making it by yourself.
Completely agree. The making of the tea can be controversial and can divide. But tea brings people together as well. Okay, I don't think we can ignore the joys of an afternoon tea. Okay, it is an event built around tea, and it brings people together. Okay, and everyone... having an afternoon tea party. You can do that and you can have all your friends round, and it's all built around the idea of sharing that pot of tea. That tea is for everyone. And I think there's a really lovely thing there that the tea brings everyone together for this lovely afternoon event. Picture it, the sun shining, you're all sitting in the garden, all enjoying tea together.
Love that. Yeah, point there. I love afternoon tea. Sorry. I
can't picture it because I don't think I've ever had it.
I've never gone to an afternoon tea.
No, and actually I feel like, you know, that sounds great, but it's a lot of effort. And I think if you want a really low-key, easy way to meet up with people, going out for a tea is not the way that you would do that. You know, you don't meet up with someone for a cup of tea, you know, outside. Obviously, if you go to someone's house, maybe you would, but you if you want a communal meeting point outside or in public, you don't go for a tea. If you order a tea in a cafe, you just feel like you're being ripped off the whole time, because you probably charged like £2 for a cup of tea when it's costing you pennies at home.
I do agree with that point, Tom, in that I don't feel right ordering a tea when I go to like a cafe or somewhere. But I think you kind of hit on another point that I think is really nice about tea, is that if you go around to someone's house, again, kind of tying into this idea of homeliness around tea, that I feel like I would always have a cup of tea at someone's house. Like, even if coffee was on the table, I'd probably go for tea, because it's just, I don't know, I'm all sentimental about things, and I just feel like when you're in someone's house, I don't know what it is, it's just weird.
I think it builds off this idea that because we look at coffee as often this sort of instant lift, is that it's the drink of work. It's the workplace drink. It's you have a coffee break in the day for work, when you nip to the kitchen, you make your coffee, you drink it with someone, it's a quick chat, get your coffee in, you're ready for the next part of the day, and you go back to your desk and you get on with your work. Whereas tea is about having conversations with people. It's about almost spilling out your heart. It's where you have your meaningful conversations with people is over a cup of tea, because they're not quick conversations. You take your time over a nice tea, and you, again, the teapot takes a while to deplenish.
Yeah.
You've often got two drinks of tea in the teapot when you go out. Whereas the coffee, once that coffee's gone, you don't just fill it up again. It's over. It's gone.
Yeah.
Point for that. I do think that maybe we just have different, like, we place different importances on things. Because I would say that for me, coffee is that drink. Coffee is that kind of, you go out for a coffee as opposed to go out for a tea. And I suppose it's the difference between going out for something and then going in for something.
I feel like that got quite deep.
Well, we're mentioning coffee quite a bit, so why don't we blast on forward. Tom, coffee.
Cool. Coffee makes you go.
What, to the loo? Oh, what a horrible thought. No,
actually,
thank you.
I mean, technically, it does have kind of properties that would stimulate that process. But no, I mean, coffee is both a pleasure and a tool. It's something that you can enjoy. It's also something that it provides for you. And you know what? I'm probably addicted to it, and I don't care. I'm more than happy to be addicted to something that makes me work better and I like the taste of.
But does it make... I mean, this work better thing, it's an instant high, but then it comes down, oh, I've got to have another coffee. You're reliant on this coffee to keep going. That does not sound healthy.
It's probably not healthy, but it's enjoyable because it tastes nice and it makes me go. I'm not necessarily one of those people that are like, oh, don't talk to me until I've had my coffee in the morning. If I miss it, I'm probably okay. But I don't know. I think it's part of the routine as well. And I think one thing that's really great about coffee is that it's something that you kind of have throughout the day. It's not particular to a certain point in the day. You know, you have your morning coffee. You can have like mid-afternoon coffee. And obviously after a meal at a restaurant, a lot of people have a coffee. You know, it's a thing that people do. You know, you go out and meet people for coffee. It's like, it's kind of, it fits in any point of the day. And I think that's what's really strong about it. And especially with that added boost that you get from it too.
Yeah, I'll give you a point for that, Tom, in that, like, personally, I do tend to drink coffee more than I drink tea, because it does keep you going and it keeps you sustained. But I kind of want to come back to Chris's point about addiction, because I do, like, I do stress sometimes that I'm becoming addicted to coffee.
Yeah, but
I worry when I have more than one cup.
But what's the problem with that, though? Like, it's not like you're addicted to cocaine and you can't start your day until you've snorted a nice line, you know? It's not going to kill you.
But I found, like, since we've been in lockdown, Jordan and I, like, have... And that's something else I really do like about coffee. Like, every morning at about 9:30, we make time to kind of make coffee and have a coffee together, which he normally makes it, to be honest. Let's not lie. I'm normally still in bed by that point. But, like, we make that time to have a coffee together, which is really nice and is something I've really appreciated about this situation. But if I'm at work and I have to leave before then and I miss having that coffee, I 100% can feel that I haven't had caffeine that morning, and it makes me so sluggish. And I'll get to, like, mid-afternoon, and if I still haven't had one, I'll start to feel, like, drowsy. I may start to have a bit of a headache.
I'll certainly give you a point there for it. It probably does have an impact. But I think the great thing about coffee is that it's often quite prevalent. Like, if you're out and about and you're like, oh no, I need that kind of pick, I need a coffee to kind of give me an injection, there's coffee shops all over the place. You know, you can, it might not be able to, like, whilst you're working, for instance, in your job, you might not be able to nip off and grab a coffee from a coffee shop. But, like, a lot of people just going about their daily business, they can walk past a coffee shop and be like, you know what, actually, I do want that. There's an entire industry built around that. There's a reason why there are so many coffee shops, and it's because people really love it. And it's, you said versatility earlier on, Chris, with regards to tea. But I think there's also loads of versatility with regards to coffee. You know, you've got your filter coffee, and I won't go into how many different ways there are to make filter coffee. You've got espresso, cappuccino, latte, flat white. You know, there's all sorts of different ways, and you can tailor it particularly to how your tastes are. Like, how much foam do you want? Do you want any foam? Do you want any milk at all? You know, there's so many different ways that you can have it. You know, it serves different purposes at different times.
I'll definitely give you a point there, Tom. Yeah, the coffee does have a huge variety, but there's something that also comes guaranteed with coffee.
I know exactly what you're going to say here.
Coffee breath.
Oh, no, oh, it's not where I thought okay. You were
going to go. That is not what you want, okay? You can tell when someone's had their morning coffee. You can smell it a mile off. Oh, here they come. Yeah, they're feeling energised. They've had their morning coffee. Oh, and then they get close to you, and then their teeth. All discoloured, okay, from the coffee. Not a problem you get with other hot drinks. Coffee, the stench of coffee breath and the look of discoloured teeth. Nobody wants to sign up for that.
I don't actually, I think it might be an issue. You know when, you know, smokers can't smell the smoke? I don't think I've noticed that on anyone.
Oh, no. See, I've just had a coffee before we started recording, and I can feel it in my mouth. And I've got to give you a point, Chris, because I'm literally in that zone right now. I'm quite glad we're doing this over FaceTime, because I can taste it. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't want anyone to come near me. So I'll give you a point there. And I just wanted to say, I wholeheartedly agree on the point for versatility. It's great. And I love kind of playing with different coffees. But where I thought you were going to go with that statement, Chris, is that something which comes along with the versatility of coffee is coffee snobbery, which is... And I've got to tell you a little anecdote here. I went into Lidl last week and I bought a milk frother. Because I really like... cappuccinos, and I've been berated in the past for having a cappuccino past 10 o'clock, and I just feel victimized because of that. And actually Jordan said to me, like, we were talking about being middle class, and I was like, I'm not middle class, I just love cappuccinos. I just got torn apart for that comment.
I'm gonna give you a point there, Amy, because you've raised a key issue here. Is you, Tom said that there's the argument over that how you make your cup of tea, okay? But the endless things of, I like a flat white, and I like this, and what are all these things, okay? They have the most ludicrous, a milky tea with milk, black tea with no milk. Everyone gets their head around that. But the endless variations of coffee this and coffee that. Oh, you have that. You like instant coffee, do you? Oh, no, I can't possibly have that.
Oh, instant coffee.
Genuinely listening to you right now makes me want to explode. I'm so... I can't disagree with your point, because I'm just getting so angry by how flippant you're being and how dismissive you're being.
You can't have a cappuccino past 10 a.m.
I mean, I'm gonna completely ignore the fact that just frothing up some milk does not make a cappuccino. But
it heats it as well. Like, I'm fully aware, but I like my, I just want a cappuccino, and it was only 20 quid, which is quite good for a milk frother.
Don't let these coffee snobs put you down, Amy.
Thank you, Chris.
Okay, can we move on before I implode, please?
Amy, what would you like to bring to our table of hot drinks?
Okay, so we've had tea, we've had coffee, which are like your everyday kind of go-to drinks. But I think, and again, this is playing very much into my character type, love a bit of indulgence. So I'm going down the route, have you guessed it yet, of hot chocolate. Because, oh, it's just, and again, not just an indulgence, the sentimental value of a hot chocolate. Like, how many memories do you have of like tea or coffee as opposed to hot chocolate? Like, yeah, it's quite a seasonal drink, but sat there on a cold winter's day, you just want to treat yourself a little bit because it's all cold outside, and you just sat watching some TV or a film with your nice little hot chocolate, and oh, it's just, yeah, it's just lovely. Little treat.
Definitely. Nice opening point, Amy. I'll give you a point there. The lovely Christmassy festive image. You know I love Christmas. Of the hot chocolate. Lovely. Tom looks less impressed.
Yeah, no. Super unhealthy. I mean, you can't berate me for coffee being addictive and then be like, oh, it's okay, because we'll have a hot chocolate instead.
But this is my point, I think, in that it's not a drink you have every day. It's not like your go-to daily drink. It's a little treat, and it's a little, oh, yeah, I'm feeling a bit naughty, I might have a little hot chocolate.
I would argue that it's not something you have every day, because if you had it every day, you would feel sick all the time, and that makes it worse.
But
it's not a drink that you can have all the time.
When you have it, like, it's a little excitement drink. Like, you don't, like, it would ruin it if you had it every day. So that's why it's the best, because when you have it, it's all the better, because it's a one-off.
And I would argue that if I didn't have a coffee for a month and then I had it, I would be much more excited than if I didn't have a hot chocolate for a month and then I had a hot chocolate.
I'm going to have to give Tom a point here, because I did have a go at him about tooth discoloration and coffee breath. And if you drank as many hot chocolates as result in coffee breath and
you wouldn't
coffee,
have teeth.
You wouldn't have teeth. You'd be having another a gummy kiss. Okay, no one wants that.
Okay.
I've got to come in with another point as well on hot chocolate, which I think is the kind of Goldilocks problem with hot chocolate, which is it's very hard to find that, you know, just right hot chocolate. I think so many times you either get a really watery, gross hot chocolate, and everyone knows what a watery hot chocolate tastes like, and it is not nice.
No.
Or you get a really rich, super sickly, I couldn't possibly finish drinking this hot chocolate with far too much in it. You know, that middle ground hot chocolate I find is really hard to come by. Whereas a middle ground cup of tea and a middle ground coffee, you know, they're pretty common.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you a point for that, in that tea and coffee is quite hard to get. Like, even if you get kind of a mediocre tea or coffee, it's still drinkable. But watery hot chocolate, you're right, it's just not right. But I have found that, and it's not a great big secret, I found the place of hot chocolate dreams, which was next door to our flat in third year. Oh my goodness, it was, I actually went there yesterday. I've been once in lockdown because Jordan had to go into the office, and he went in again yesterday, and they've just started selling their hot chocolate powder, and I haven't tried it yet, but one of our very good friends has bought some, and she said it's exactly like the real thing, and it is my favourite hot chocolate in the world. And it's actually a white hot chocolate, but it's roasted white, so it's like got this caramelly flavour. And they do like 6 different types of hot chocolate, so, which is another great advantage of hot chocolate, because it's also versatile, because you can get darker hot chocolates, which are bitter and richer. Then you go into your milk hot chocolates, which are kind of your standard go-to make yourself at home hot chocolates, and then you've got this glorious white hot chocolate that this place does, and it is just superb. Like, I've got shivers thinking about it, and I know I can't give myself a point, but it's so good.
I feel like you deserve a point just because of the kind of the emotion that came with that. I can only imagine that the reason why you haven't bought the Mrs. Potts hot chocolate yet is because it's probably being ordered by truck to your house. You know,
they've
probably got some kind of factory delay because you've ordered so much of it.
It's so expensive, but I'm so, like, I'm just going to savour it because it's, to me, it's so worth it.
I'm getting the impression that you would choose chocolate over rent at this point.
I'm contemplating it.
Well, I think that brings us to a very nice conclusion. So, it's time to look at the scores on the doors. And yet again, incredibly close.
Ooh.
Both on 4 points, we have tea and hot chocolate.
Oh!
Thankfully, so that someone doesn't have an aneurysm or cardiac arrest, coming in on 5 points is coffee.
Wow.
Well done, Tom.
Are you sure? I was pretty sure I was going to lose that, so I'm very happy with that.
You brought it back with some quite harsh comments on everyone else's, I think, Tom. I think your slating of hot chocolate saved you.
I think, great, so coffee is the least worst option. Good.
So there you have it. Coffee is the best hot drink. Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to get in contact with us or tell your friends all about us, then you can either through
our social media. On Facebook, we're Mind the Flat Podcast. Instagram is mindtheflat_podcast. And Twitter is mindtheflat_pod.
Or you can email us at mindtheflatpodcast@gmail.com.
As of today, Series 1 will no longer be available on your favourite podcast provider. However, do not fear. If you would like to listen to the slightly rustier and rather more serious delights of our first series, then you can on our website, mindtheflatpodcast.com. And we'll be back again next week with more debate on another of life's most challenging questions. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.